Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I am your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I am excited to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeat ye olde Minnesota Timberwolves, final score 116-107 in a game that like was that close for a while, but ultimately, the actual reason why it was that close at the end was because of garbage time. Denver starters kind of started messing around a little bit when Dacian Nix was on the floor. Understandably so, not necessarily worried about it in particular, but was a really, really great performance from your Denver Nuggets and one that means a lot. One that really means a lot. We've been talking about this game for a long time. Been talking about the value of this game and what it actually means within the standings. This was hyped up nationally. This was on national TV, and it was a great, great reminder that the Denver Nuggets are still the best team in the NBA when it comes down to it. When it comes down to just how tight things usually get, how physical things usually get, how difficult things can get when you're playing the best of the best. And the Nuggets rose to the occasion, as they generally do. And it was a lot of fun to be there. The final game of the regular season at home for the Denver Nuggets. And it was a lot of fun to be there on Fan Appreciation Night, where after the game, Nuggets players actually were signing things, throwing them into the crowd, thanking the fans, staying out there for a little bit. It was cool. That was a cool moment. And just a nice little reminder of what this is all about. This is about the fans. It's not about the players. This is not about the coaches or the media members or anything like that. This is about the fans. And this podcast is about you guys. So thank you so much for hopping in. Really appreciate everybody for stopping by. I see Martin is here. I see Fernando is here. I see Drippington is here. Everybody, thank you so much for stopping by. On this podcast, we're obviously going to talk about this game. We're going to talk about last night, a massive, massive performance for the Denver Nuggets that has plenty of ramifications for the one seed. The Nuggets reclaimed the one seed at the top of the Western Conference and control their own destiny heading into the final two games of the season. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Jokic. We'll talk about Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. There's so much to go over. Let me know in the comments what you would like to discuss. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on, or if you're listening on the audio side of things, thank you so much. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It means the world. All right, let's get into this. Let's talk about this awesome game. Denver does a fantastic job in this one. It was just a very, very nice performance. Denver does a great job in this one. Sorry, the roommate's cat is now getting vocal. Jokic, we'll start with that. There's been a lot of push from Dallas Mavericks fans, Luka Doncic fans, to get Luka Doncic the MVP award. There's been a lot of that, and understandably so. Like, just a very, very nice performance and like stretch for Luka Doncic, for sure. He's got a lot going for him. But you watch a game like last night, where Denver faces the best defense in the NBA, the defensive player of the year. They've got the best defensive personnel to match up with a guy like Jokic. And for it to just not matter, like for it not to matter at all, is a testament to how great Nikola Jokic is and that he has firmly entrenched himself as the MVP of the NBA. Anybody that watched last night would see it. Anybody that watched would understand the level to which Jokic controlled that game, how few bad plays he made. He had a couple of like long distance passes. One of them was picked off. I think he had one other turnover. Outside of that, like, he just didn't make any mistakes at all. And when you're facing a team like Minnesota with as much like pressure as there is, facing a guy like Rudy Gobert for much of that. Now, he did, like, he was defended by Naz Reid at like early points in that game, defended by Kyle Anderson at various points throughout that game. But in that third quarter, like, he had a great first half. It was like 17 points on 7 of 9. It was great. But it really was the third quarter. I think he had like 16 points in the third quarter alone, was putting Kyle Anderson into a box, and then was putting Rudy Gobert into the same box as well. And like, Kyle Anderson actually picked up three fouls in 10 to 15 seconds or so trying to guard Jokic because he just could not stop him from getting to where he wanted to go. And for a while in this game, it was back and forth. Denver, like, struggling to keep up with Minnesota. Minnesota's a great team. They have figured things out against Denver and are doing great things. Like, this result does not say one way or the other who would win a series between these two teams. I think Denver should be the favorite. But, like, Minnesota's going to challenge them more than just about any team in the NBA. But it's Jokic's and the team's ability to sort of rise up around that and to work in spite of that that has been just really, really impressive to watch. And last night was a great example. Jokic going to a variety of different moves, playing off of everything that Minnesota was doing, and just a really, really impressive performance. It didn't matter what Rudy Gobert was throwing at Jokic, any of the pretty much every combination that Jokic threw, he hit. And for a long time, this felt like a matchup between two heavyweights where the T-Wolves had so much in their bag from a defensive standpoint that they could go to a variety of different things. The Nuggets had to come up with so many different answers, and Jokic had an answer every single time. Every single time they'd switch up the matchup, they'd run defense at the level, they'd run defense rotating over and doubling immediately. They would let Jokic go to work one-on-one and then bring a double late. There was a lot of different ways that Minnesota tried to bother Jokic, and none of it worked. None of it. Jokic goes for 41 points, 16 of 20 from the field, 7 of 12 from the free throw line. I will say this, Jokic missed 3-and-1 free throws, I believe, and then missed a couple beyond that. The free throw shooting's got to get better. Denver as a team shot 13 of 23 from the free throw line last night. They missed 10 out of 23 free throws. If they had lost the game because they shot 55% from the field, 44% from three, and 56% from the line, if that was the reason why they had lost, there would be a lot of conversations to be had. Fortunately, didn't impact them. Wasn't a big deal. And it was nice to see Denver pull it out, despite the fact that something like that was sort of impacting them. But Jokic, like, 41 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, only 2 turnovers, was a plus 6 in a game that Denver ultimately won by 9, which to me shows, and we'll talk about this in the second segment, that it wasn't just Jokic, that there were different points of the game where everybody stepped up. Not just one or two guys. Not just Reggie Jackson, not just Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. Everybody had their moments. And I want to make sure to give everybody as much credit as possible for that. Jamal Murray. Michael Malone talked about post-game how it was a battle trying to figure out whether Jamal was going to play. Jamal was pleading with him on the plane back from Utah the previous day. Please let me play. Please let me get out there. We need this game. Doing everything that he could. Malone called him as like a little kid. And not surprised. Like Jamal is a very competitive guy. He knows how important this game was. He didn't want to let a minute restriction or a back-to-back impact him. And he got out there. He played 27 minutes. And I thought he played pretty well. There were some bad turnovers, to be clear. There were some things that I didn't like from his game where a couple times he kind of drove into the midst of Minnesota's defense and then jumped without a plan, tried to thread a pass that wasn't there, things like that. But as he played and got more comfortable, the more frequently that he just shot the ball, that he just got downhill and made a decision, the better his decisions were and the more impact that he had. 20 points in 27 minutes, 8 of 13 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, 6 assists, did have the 4 turnovers, but was pretty solid defensively as well. And it was very, very cool to see him get back out there to match up with Mike Conley, of all people, not even really Anthony Edwards, because Edwards was kind of in his own category, closer to Jokic. But like Mike Conley last game killed Denver, killed them. And to be clear, like Conley was still very successful tonight. Last night he shot 7 of 12, 5 of 9 from 3. He is a dangerous player that the Nuggets are going to need to account for in a playoff series. They're going to need to do better than they did during this regular season because Conley has been tremendous every single time he's faced Denver. So that's something I'm wondering about. That's something I'm going to watch. But Murray getting out there and playing 27 minutes, more than zero, obviously. And if you start Reggie Jackson in this situation, I think Denver's confidence just gets a little bit less. Reggie had some good moments in this game. We'll talk about him a little bit. But Denver playing their full starting unit, I heard this stat from Matt Moore. And I don't know if he shared this one, but I'm going to share it now. Last year's championship year and this year, when Denver has had their full starting lineup at home, they are now 51-7. 51-7. 51 out of 58 games they've won. And you say, okay, it's not a surprise because they defend home court really well. 51-7. Like, I mean, and that's regular season and playoffs, by the way. You factor that in, and Denver at this point, when they have their full group, when they have their full starting unit, everything sort of falls into place. I shared the stat about Jamal Murray yesterday, where they're 16-1, the team is this year, 16-1 when he scores 25 or more. I think that if they needed him to play 36 minutes last night, he could have gotten to 25. He was at 20, only took 13 shots, wasn't necessarily in his purview to score. Jokic had 40. But like, he was in his bag too. And he took a step back in the fourth quarter because he wasn't needed. He set the table a couple times, but for the most part, he got out of the way and let Denver work in transition and let Jokic work. But I think that there is something to that. That as long as Denver stays intact, as long as they stay healthy, they have a great chance to repeat. And I think it's like hanging on the edge of despair, basically, because Aaron Gordon's banged up, Murray's banged up. One ankle roll to any of those guys, including like Michael Porter and KCP, and Denver's up a creek. Like they're going to be in a really difficult spot if those guys suffer injuries during the playoffs. Knock on wood. But I will say that at this stage, if Denver is healthy, they're in a really great place. And I think they've shown exactly what it means for them to sort of raise their level in a game like this, where the pressure is so high, the stakes are so high, about as high for a regular season game as they can get. And they rose to the occasion. They absolutely did. Shot 44% from three and 55 from the field. Like, what are we doing? That's crazy. Against the number one defense. It was really, really impressive. Other notes on the starters. Aaron Gordon, 9 assists. I'll talk about him a little bit more in the second segment because I thought his minutes where he staggered with the second unit were a very big deal. Although he did have some passes and sort of playmaking opportunities in the middle of the floor to other guys like Michael Porter and KCP and Aaron Gordon or Jamal Murray and guys like that. Michael Porter, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 37 minutes. It's something that I continue to underrate. His ability to be out there for as long as he has really carried Denver in minutes where Murray only could play 27 minutes last night on the second night of a back-to-back. Gordon, very banged up, can't play him a ton. You need Porter to be out there. Porter last night, he was the backup four in a lot of cases, and he was the starting three. Was really impressed overall with his game. During the game, there were moments where I was a little bit shaky on him. I thought that there were some crazy moments, including the 3-on-1 fast break where he turned it into a sidestep mid-range jumper. But like, look, he's proven himself to be a mid-range assassin. So what can I really say? It's one of those ones where it's a no, 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 yes kind of shot. Like, and he made it, more power to him for sure. Like, did a great job. And then KCP. He has a really hard job in this series because he's got to be the one. He's the sacrificial lamb to Anthony Edwards. Edwards was great in the first three quarters. Great. And it just didn't matter. Like, Anthony Edwards, there's nothing that KCP could really do in that matchup because he was so dynamic and so big and athletic. And when the jumper is hitting for Anthony Edwards, it's really, really difficult to stop him. I think that you got to dare him to take jumpers. I really do. But you never want him to get going and get too much confidence from that as well. You want him to continually make decisions, potentially turn the ball over, put himself into pretty tough positions. But Edwards is just getting to that level where he is like really, really good. But we can talk about in the second segment how he scored 0 points in the fourth quarter when he was absolutely needed. And it was great to see Denver rise to that occasion on the defensive end. But it didn't come with KCP on the floor. KCP had a couple of good moments offensively, mostly not good enough defensively to stop Edwards, and he didn't play in the fourth quarter. They closed with Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, and as we'll talk about in the second segment, it was warranted. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the bench. We're going to talk about P-Watt, Christian Brown dunking on Rudy Gobert, things like that. Should be a lot of fun. But first, everybody, as you know, this podcast is brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, the most trusted name in sports gambling with a direct line to Las Vegas. You can use their promo code MILEHIGH to score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter the promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you.
we are back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, continue sharing out the podcast. That would help out tremendously as I try to bring the best coverage I possibly can to Denver Nuggets fans. All right, let's talk about the bench. Let's talk about the bench unit that was tremendous at various points last night. Let me just read off the plus minuses for the game for the entire team. Nikola Jokic, as you know, he's going to be in the plus in situations like this. He was plus six in a game that Denver won by nine. Jamal Murray, plus seven. Michael Porter, plus seven. KCP, minus two. He didn't have his best defensive game. I thought that he was taken advantage of at times for the lack of size and maybe even the lack of strength to go against a bigger guard like Anthony Edwards. That's something to sort of monitor. Hold on. I'm podcasting. Aaron Gordon, plus nine in 28 minutes. He was the guy who staggered with the second unit for that entire time. Bro. He was a guy who staggered for that entire time, plus 28 or plus eight in or plus nine in his 28 minutes. But then you go to the second unit, and those guys are like Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, Justin Holiday. Okay, yeah, clearly you don't want to be here. Good Lord. Yeah, Cat's making an early appearance, Karl Anthony Towns. Reggie Jackson, 20 minutes, plus three. Christian Brown, plus nine in 27 minutes. Peyton Watson, plus four. Justin Holiday, just 8 minutes, he was plus nine. Really, really, really impressive from the bench. Not from the offensive standpoint, but from the defense. I tweeted this last night. This is a crazy number. Justin Holiday only played 8 minutes. He was the guy that, like, look, he's the ninth man in a nine-man rotation. Not going to be out there a ton. 8 minutes. The T-Wolves had a 38 offensive rating. 100 is bad. 38 is horrible. Like, they couldn't score. They couldn't score with Denver's second unit out there, which Aaron Gordon playing the backup five. I don't know how sustainable it is, obviously, but just a really, really important moment. And then Justin Holiday, like had a huge three-pointer. To be honest, I don't even remember it. I don't even remember it, Dejan. I couldn't tell you what quarter it was in. I'm going to guess it was the second quarter, but it just would not surprise me. Like, Justin Holiday is going to make those plays because he's a vet. He understands how to do it. But you know who also had a very, very important three-pointer was Reggie Jackson. Like, for as much crap as he gets and for as much, like, I've talked about it ad nauseum, that, like, he's going to be a guy that has a ton of pressure on him consistently. 20 minutes, 9 points, three turnovers, four fouls. Not necessarily his best work, but the 1-3 that he did hit right at the buzzer, right at the shot clock buzzer. Nikola Jokic throws up basically an air ball. Peyton Watson grabs the rebound, kicks it out to Reggie Jackson without knowing the shot clock. And then Reggie hits that three. That was such a big moment. And like that basically tied the game at 80, I believe, I want to say. And not everybody's going to play well. Not everybody's going to play well at the same time, but you need enough moments from the entire group to make it work. And that was one. That's one. And like, I think that Reggie could come up with that playoff mode with that move in the playoffs. I think he could come up with a shot like that. But it was still not great. Like, I know Nuggets fans are going to bash him, and rightfully so. Like, he didn't have a good game overall, but you just have to understand Jamal Murray is going to play 36 to 40 minutes most of the time. Right now, Reggie, like, he played 20. It wouldn't surprise me if that got cut down to 10, like 10 minutes, 12 minutes, somewhere around there, a little bit closer to that. It just wouldn't surprise me at all if that's sort of the way that Denver goes to it. So I think that Reggie can play pretty well in Jokic minutes, but leading the non-Jokic minutes is going to be tough for him. It's going to be tough for Jamal, frankly, but I think I trust Jamal to do it a little bit better. But the real story, like I said, about that second unit, it wasn't about the offense. It was about the defense. It was about what they were able to do with that group in limiting Minnesota in those non-Jokic minutes. And like Denver was a plus in the non-Jokic minutes, as I mentioned. Christian Brown's defense was great. He switched on to Naz Reid so many times, and Naz Reid finished 6 of 19 from the field. 6 of 19, 0 of 4 from 3, 1 of 5 from the line. Now, Naz was still a plus 3 because in those minutes, like, there is an advantage there. There's an advantage there that Minnesota can continue to press. And I got to be honest, folks. When Karl Anthony Towns gets back, he may be back for them at the end of this regular season. It wouldn't surprise me if he played like 15 minutes in one game, 15 minutes in another game, trying to get himself ready for the playoffs. When you have a trio of Rudy Gobert, Naz Reid, and now Karl Anthony Towns coming back, I would be surprised if Denver went as small as they did as often as they did, because there is just so much size and athleticism and physicality that the T-Wolves could throw out there. Like, they had minutes with Naz and Rudy both out there with the second unit, and those didn't work this time around. But if you have Naz Reid and Karl Anthony Towns at the same time, like, it just wouldn't surprise me at all if Minnesota finds more opportunities to win those minutes going forward because of Denver's lack of size. Zeke Nagy didn't play. DeAndre Jordan didn't play. I don't think DeAndre Jordan can really play in this series. I don't know if Zeke can really play at all. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out, because that's going to be tested at some point if these two teams meet. I do believe that Denver will try to figure that out. But we got to talk about Christian. We got to talk about the dunks. We got to talk about Peyton Watson. Let's talk about Peyton Watson's blocks first. Peyton Watson in 23 minutes at 3 points, 1 of 2 from the field, 1 of 2 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 blocks. Six. That's sick. That is disgusting. Like, the fact that Peyton Watson is achieving that many blocks is frankly bonkers. If I go to totals for all players, we're going to eliminate that. Total blocks on the season. Peyton Watson is 15th in the NBA now in total blocks, despite the fact that he's only played under 1,500 minutes. The only guys that are like, I mean, not guys, the only other player that's in the top 15 with so few minutes is Walker Kessler, who's at 154 blocks because he's a crazy rim protector. Peyton Watson is a forward. He is 6'8". Some would call him even smaller than that. Some would call him a wing as opposed to a forward. The fact that he is at that level and the fact that he's doing this, like, just 6 blocks in 21 minutes or 23 minutes is just disgusting. It really is. And it's the same number that Scottie Barnes has on the season. He's at 88. Peyton's at 87. Derek White's at 86. Now, Derek White, I mean, that's crazy. If it's a Zubats, 82. Jared Allen, 81. Isaiah Hartenstein, 81. Giannis, 79. 79 blocks in that few minutes, or in so many more minutes compared to Peyton Watson, is crazy. Kevin Durant, 90 blocks. Kevin Durant's going to get some all defensive love. Like, Peyton Watson is going to be an all defensive caliber player. Like, it's going to happen. The only question is whether, like, when he's going to get the role to be able to play that much, and can the offense kind of go with it? The offense is still a weakness for Peyton, and it showed up last night. Like, there's just too many opportunities, I think, where he's a little bit weak on the offensive end. But he is a game changer on the defensive end of the floor. And I am very, very impressed with where he's at. Just looks looks the part of a great defensive player. Somebody like Jaden McDaniels or like Herb Jones or somebody of that nature. Like, this is going to be very interesting to see where he goes with his career. I'm loving it. And then Christian Brown, like, second half, Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, they're both out there. And then into the fourth quarter, they're still out there. And then the seven-minute mark rolls around, and Michael Malone has an opportunity to bring back in Aaron Gordon, to bring back in KCP. No, he leaves the young guys out there with Murray, Porter, and Jokic. And not only do they pay him back, not only do Peyton Watson and Christian Brown pay back Michael Malone for that faith, but they change the game. They absolutely do. The defense, the transition play, like Jokic doing his thing, obviously, and deserves a ton of credit for it. But the actual athleticism that Christian Brown had, that he showed, dunking over the top of Rudy Gobert, transition alley-oop, dunking over the top of Rudy Gobert again, getting out in transition, and Peyton Watson turning a block into a dunk on the other end. Like, I don't know what the exact run was for Denver, but that game went from a close game to a 16-point game, a 16-point margin in what felt like the blink of an eye. At one point, I looked up at about the five-minute mark or so, and I was like, it's a 10-point game. Like, the Nuggets had been trailing for much of it. They were either tied or trailing for pretty much the entire time. The first 36 minutes of the game, to be sure. But it was wild to see Denver go from what was a close and contested game to blowing it open in the fourth quarter because they had the energy and the T-Wolves did not. Now, second night of a back-to-back, Anthony Edwards has not been good on the second night of back-to-backs, and he had 0 points in the fourth quarter. Played, I think, 4 minutes and 47 seconds and had 3 shots, went 0 of 3. The T-Wolves decided to put the ball in Mike Conley's hands for much of that time. He was making good plays. He was shooting off the dribble. He was making some, like, very, very important threes throughout that game. So maybe it was the right call. But the fact that they never really got Anthony Edwards going, like, there's something to that. I'm surprised that they never really tried to attack Christian Brown, that they, like, when that change happened, I have a visceral, like, memory burned into my brain of the T-Wolves running offense and Anthony Edwards just hanging out in the right corner at one of the most important possessions of the game. And if that's going to happen, Denver's going to take it. What that says to me is that in a playoff series between these two teams, I doubt that Edwards just hangs out in the corner for a lot of time. Like, he'll be out there. He will be much more active. And Christian will be tested a little bit more. But I think that between him and Peyton Watson, those two guys should be good matchups for Anthony Edwards. They should be, like, a little bit better than KCP, because KCP is a little bit smaller. He's better on guards. He's better chasing people around screens, things like that. Edwards is just too physical and too athletic. But he's also a good enough jump shot taker that Aaron Gordon, probably not the guy that you want to use on him either. Denver doesn't have the perfect guy in their starting unit to take Edwards. So it wouldn't surprise me if they have to go to Peyton. Wouldn't surprise me if they have to go to Christian in this matchup going forward. But the fact that those two guys showed out in this particular moment, it should give Michael Malone confidence to deploy them at various points again. Now, what does it do to Denver's offense? What does it do to their starting lineup if they have to mix up the lineup, if they have to remove one of those pieces? I don't know. But what I do know is that for this one matchup, for this one game, Peyton Watson and Christian Brown were the difference. Nikola Jokic was fantastic. Jamal Murray was great. Michael Porter hit some important shots. Christian Brown and Peyton Watson were the difference. And that is a very, very important sort of benchmark for where the Nuggets are at. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to go over the standings. We're going to go over where the Nuggets stand, not just in the standings, but for the remaining games of the season and what this game has on the ramifications for regular season and playoffs. Should be a lot of fun. But first, this message from Scout to Huff. All right, final segment. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button to the YouTube channel, especially if you're new. Would really appreciate the love and support. All right, let's go to the standings. Is that big enough for everybody to read? Let me try to make that text a little bit bigger. Hope that helped. Yeah, it's a little bit bigger. All right. Western Conference standings as it stands right now. Denver Nuggets 56-24. Minnesota and OKC tied at 55-25. Minnesota has the tiebreaker over OKC, so they are still in the two seed based off of their... Actually, they've got the same division record, I want to say. Actually, yeah, I could see it right there. Got the same division record, but they have a better conference record. Those teams tied 2-2. The conference record for Minnesota, I think, it's going to clinch them a tiebreaker over OKC. The Clippers and the Mavericks are locked into the 4-5 matchup. The Clippers cannot catch the Thunder. The Pelicans cannot catch the Mavericks at this stage. Pelicans don't have the tiebreaker against Dallas. So that is the 4-5 matchup. Right now, Pelicans are at 6. They have, like, they're the favorites to be the 6, but Phoenix still has an opportunity to get it if they win out and then the Pelicans drop one. Or maybe it's 2. Like, we'll see. But right now, Phoenix and Sacramento looks like they're going to be in the 7-8 matchup, and then the Lakers and the Warriors will be in the 9-10 in some order. Now, Sacramento could obviously drop. That there's a very strong possibility that Sacramento drops because they have not been playing well in comparison to the rest of the West. And they still have a couple matchups that they are still trying to figure out. They're kind of reeling at this point because without Malik Monk, without Kevin Huerter, both of those guys really important for them, I'm not surprised that they're kind of falling off. Their regular season up until this point was very much a little smoke and mirrors in the clutch. They had done some great things in the clutch. Now they're not really getting to that point. Now they're struggling without Malik Monk for sure. And Kevin Huerter, like, his shooting has been like, wasn't great early. It's better late. And then he got hurt. But right now Denver's at the 1 and they've got 2 more games left to go. 2 games against San Antonio and Memphis, both on the road. Michael Malone and the Nuggets both made sure to mention, like, look, it's great that they are in position for the 1 seed, but it just does not matter if they lose one of the next 2. Now, it's going to be hard for them to lose one of the next 2 because San Antonio and Memphis, like, they are bereft of talent right now. I don't know if Wemby's going to play in that San Antonio matchup. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But Memphis, they've got one rotation guy from previous years, and I think it's Jake LaRavia. So I think it's probably safe to say, knock on wood, that Denver is going to get those 2 wins, which would be cool because if they get to 58 wins, they'll set a new franchise record for wins in a season. Like, this has been, if they ultimately finish it off, this has been the best regular season in Denver Nuggets history. Like, straight up. It's kind of cool to see. They have been dynamic for much of it. And it's funny because for so often you think of apathy, you think of, man, maybe they'll let up a little bit. But this post-All-Star break stretch where they've been so good out of the break has been so, so valuable. The Timberwolves play versus Atlanta and versus Phoenix in their final 2 games of the season. Phoenix may... They may need that game. I'm curious to see what ultimately happens there. if that's the case, I wonder if Minnesota, like Minnesota's going to be in a really interesting position because they may not necessarily want, like they're probably okay with not getting the one. The two seed is a really good seed, but the three seed is also very good. And I think the T-Wolves are pretty strong in their matchup against the Pelicans, if I'm mistaken. I think that the Pelicans are pretty weak in that regard. Now, the Suns, probably the most dangerous team to the T-Wolves because they have Kevin Durant. Jaden McDaniels would have to guard him, which means who guards Devin Booker? It's a tough one. That's a really, really tough matchup. And there's just like, for as great as Minnesota is defensively, Phoenix may pose some interesting problems to them. So they may want to avoid that. They may just drop to three and be like, you know what, we'd rather face the Pelicans. And then we'll face the winner of the 2-7. And if they have to go on the road to face OKC, so be it. But I'm very curious to see what ultimately becomes of that. A lot of gamesmanship will happen in these last couple days. And the remaining games for the Thunder versus Milwaukee and versus Dallas, if I scroll up here and we actually look at where Milwaukee's at, they're 49-31. New York is 47-32. Not sure what the tiebreaker situation is like. I think that New York actually has the tiebreaker, if I'm not mistaken. So the Bucks, they still got to win some games too. So wouldn't surprise me if the Thunder actually lost that matchup that they have against the Bucks. And if that's the case, then maybe OKC and Minnesota start battling it out for a loss and then like trying to get down to three, which means that maybe Denver doesn't have to play that hard in the final game of their regular season anyway. That would be interesting to me. That would be intriguing. But either way, good to see where Denver's at right now. They're at a 70% win percentage. That's pretty cool. I did not expect them to get to that level. And if you win 70% of your games, you're generally a really, really, really good team. And I'm at this point, I'm pretty hopeful for where Denver's at within their regular season stretch. But as it pertains to the playoffs, right now, as I mentioned here, Phoenix, Sacramento, the Lakers, and the Warriors. Those to me look like the four teams that are going to be in the play-in. Phoenix, Sacramento, the Lakers, and the Warriors. That means that Denver will face, they could face any of them. You have to figure out who's going to play in that like 7-8 matchup, who's going to play in the 9-10. I don't necessarily have a preference for who Denver should want. Like Denver obviously can't be afraid of any team like Phoenix. If they face the Suns, they'll have to get through it. It'll be tougher than it probably needs to be. But with the way that the Suns look right now, like other than when they're playing Denver, it feels like the Suns are just not a good basketball team, or at least to the point where they are like kind of apathetic of the situation. Like they're going to be in the play-in in all likelihood. And if that's the case, maybe they get eliminated. Like, can you imagine playoff matchups between Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, Stephen Curry and LeBron James? Like any of those, like that plan's going to be sick. And I just have no idea how it's going to break down. I kind of trust the Lakers to get out of that because I trust LeBron and I trust Anthony Davis to be one of the best defenders in that situation. And frankly, the Lakers have been in that situation before. The Suns haven't. The Suns, we don't know what the Suns would look like in that sort of environment. The Warriors, we've seen in that environment, we've seen them be good and bad. But I kind of trust the Lakers in that situation. So if they're in the 9 or the 10 seed, if the Lakers are, I kind of think that they have a pretty good chance to be the team that goes to the 8 seed. And then that would be Denver's first round matchup. Like that would be fascinating. I think Denver would be fine with it. Now, LeBron and AD, they would be probably about as fresh as they possibly could be in that situation. But Denver knows how to face the Lakers. I doubt that they would sweep them. I think that would be very unlikely. I think Denver would probably win that series in 5 or 6. I think they'd probably win a series against the Suns in 6. I think they'd probably win a series against the Kings in 5. And I think they'd win a series against the Warriors in either 5 or 6. So by that extension, I guess I'd rather play the Kings. And Dejan says it here. I'd prefer the Kings in the first round. I don't know what would ultimately happen. I kind of don't trust them in a play-in situation where they don't have, if they don't have Malik Monk, if they don't have Kevin Herter, I think is out for the season. I'm not sure about Malik Monk. I think he had a sprained MCL, so not sure how long he's going to be out for. But Fernando says, we know what Devin Booker looks like in an elimination game, and it's not good. That is true. That is true. So maybe I am overrating what the Suns would look like in an environment like that. So I do think that the Lakers would be pretty good in that situation. They've shown that over the course of multiple years. So I'm curious. Curious to see how it works out. Curious to see where Denver's at. But let me know in the comments what you think Denver's actual goal should be. I had somebody, Alex asked it earlier, will Jamal play tomorrow against the San Antonio Spurs? I don't know. I think he plays tomorrow. I think that it probably won't be a massive amount of minutes. They'll probably keep it to like 25. But I doubt that he doesn't play at all because Denver still needs to get these games. So they can't just sit him entirely, in my opinion. Now, maybe they sit Aaron Gordon entirely. I think that that should be what they should do. They should probably sit down Aaron Gordon for the next two games, give him as much rest as possible, and like, Jokic is going to play through the whistle, I think. Michael Porter is going to want to play. Christian Brown and Reggie Jackson, I think, have goals to play in all 82 games. They've played in 80 out of 80 so far. Peyton Watson's young. He doesn't need rest. Maybe get KCP a night off. Like, that wouldn't surprise me if they could try to get him for one of these. But look, Denver at this point, the finish line is just right there. And Dejan says it here. All the healthy guys should play. I think I agree. I honestly do. I think at this stage, Denver's still going to get a week off. They're not going to have to stress against San Antonio and Memphis. They just have to play their game and they'll be fine. Now, the last thing you want is a rolled ankle or something of that nature that actually impacts the series that they have to play in the first round or going forward. So you got to be smart. You got to be smart for sure. But I think, at this stage, will be very interesting. Send Joker home for a week. Joker says he wants to play. And if Joker wants to play, he generally plays. Like, he'll be smart, obviously. But I do think that they will absolutely, like, they'll recommend it to him. And he'll probably say, nah, I'm good. I'm going to play. So we'll see. He's probably not going to get that 1,500 stat. I was really hoping that he would. But ultimately, that doesn't look like it's going to come to pass. Jokic is now 5th in the NBA in total points at 2,048, but he is at 954 total rebounds with two games left to go, which means he needs 46 rebounds in the next two games. That's not going to happen. But he is probably going to get 700 assists. Is it 691 right now? Is that 100 steals, which is tied for 9th in the NBA? The dude is ridiculous. He's going to win MVP. It's going to be awesome. All right, folks, I think that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I have a thing I am going to do tomorrow, or actually, no, I'm going to do it in like 10 minutes with Jake Shapiro and 104.3. They are, I think I'm doing the coffee break thing with them, so it should be interesting to see. Keep on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, and make sure to see what's going on over there. I may be going live over there once again, so it should be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Have a lot of people in here really excited for this moment. I like to go live the day after games, so if you are around for this particular time, always love to do it. Next time I will go live will probably be on Saturday. Should be interesting to see, but make sure to keep it tuned in to Mile High Sports and everything that we do there. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button on the way out. We will talk to you guys very soon.